This is SportsCenter.
Christine Lisi, breaking news. Eagles adding a much-needed reinforcement for their banged-up secondary. Acquired safety Kevin Byard from the Titans for safety Terrell Edmonds and two draft picks. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports 49ers running back Christian McCaffrey will play against the Vikings on Monday Night Football, 8 Eastern, ABC, ESPN, and ESPN2. At least one half of the World Series matchup will be settled today. Phillies up 3 games to 2. Host the Diamondbacks, Game 6 of the NLCS. Aaron Nola, Merrill Kelly, ESPN radio coverage, bottom of the hour. Then we've got a Game 7, ALCS, Rangers-Astros, 7:30 Eastern. Houston starts Christian Javier. Texas goes with Max Scherzer. ESPN's Tim Kirkjian.
This is exactly why they traded for him, so he could win Game 7. Unfortunately, it will only be his second start since September the 12th. You have to wonder how sharp he's going to be. But they're throwing a first ballot Hall of Famer out there for Game 7.
Tim Kirkjian on Max Scherzer. Sources tell ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, Sixers guard James Harden remains away from the team. It's unclear whether he'll be available for Thursday's season opener against the Bucks.
Hey, it's your resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Canty. Coming up Tuesday, we saw a lot of backup quarterbacks play this weekend. I'll tell you if any of them played well enough to stay on the field. It's Unsportsmanlike, 6 a.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and ESPNU.
From Studio 2 at the worldwide headquarters of ESPN and the HD studio in Atlanta, Georgia, this is Freddie and Harry.
Welcome to the best show on your radio. You know it better as Freddie and Harry, based on the comedic styles of Harry Douglas. Now, for those who can't see the show, we do like a little, like when we do like the Good Times Roll, that's like kind of a choreographed movement that we have. Harry takes it to the extreme that is thoroughly entertaining, and it almost made Devin Kane spit out his soda, made Shannon Penn, our producer, almost fall out, and I almost fell out as well just seeing Harry Douglas with that.
Because I love it so much, Freddie. Like, it puts me in this glorious mood, like I'm happy, and then when I finally got the hand gestures down to the song,
right,
I got even more excited about it.
This is Freddie and Harry.
Let the good times roll.
And welcome to the best show on your radio. It is Freddie and Harry. Got my man Harry Douglas. I'm Freddie Coleman. Together we're presented by Progressive Insurance on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. And also that smart speaker that play ESPN Radio. We're not going to have the full 4 hours for you tonight because we're going to be done by 4:30 Eastern time. In a half an hour, we get you ready for not one but two games in the baseball playoffs. The NLCS will now take place first. First pitch at 5:07 p.m. when you got the Phillies leading that series 3-2 hours on the Diamondbacks. Then right after that, Game 7 of the American League Championship Series between the Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros. The road to the World Series right through ESPN Radio. All the postseason action on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. But Doug Glanville, our man, is going to be there in Philadelphia for the Philadelphia Phillies trying to push away the Diamondbacks to get to the World Series. He'll be on the call, John Buscemi, ESPN Major League Baseball analyst, joins us here on Freddie and Harry. Hit him on social media at Doug Glanville. Doug, I firmly believe this. If the Diamondbacks win Game 6 tonight, that's going to be a very nervous building if there's a Game 7 tomorrow night in Philadelphia. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, no doubt, because, you know, the X factor of the fans here has been game-changing. I mean, it's so loud in here. It's so intimidating, and it made a big difference for Games 1 and 2. All of a sudden, if somehow the D-backs figure out how to kind of take that out of the equation and just play their game, and they pull off a win, yeah, it's going to be a shock to the system, because it's like, all right, wait a minute, are we losing our mojo here in Philly? So there's no doubt that it makes a big difference if they can put it away tonight, because tomorrow it could be a coin toss. I mean, anything can happen in a one-game situation.
And, Doug, when you look at the pitching matchup, you have Kelly versus Aaron Nola, right? The last time these two guys faced each other was Game 2. And when I look at the Phillies lineup, it was Turner with that single home run, a solo home run that he had. It was Schwarber with two of them. Do you think Kelly is going to be ready for this environment and also these hitters because of what we've seen displayed in Game 2?
Well, he'll be ready, and he's an excellent pitcher. He's also now gotten that behind him. Now, he already had his experience here at Citizens Bank Park. There's no element of surprise. He, like Nola, they both are multifaceted pitchers. They throw a lot of different pitches. They have command of all their pitches. And, you know, look, he gave up some hits. They were home runs, but he didn't give up a whole lot of other stuff until it was sort of at the end. So he did keep them in the ball game, so to speak. And Kelly is a guy that will make a lot of adjustments. He has a lot of history here in the Philadelphia area, so he'll be ready.
Doug Glanville, ESPN Major League Baseball analyst, will be on the call for tonight's Game 6 as the Phillies take on the Diamondbacks in Philadelphia, leading that series 3-2 on Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio. We know the Phillies bullpen, at times has been lights out, but they've had that kind of struggles up and down so far in this series. How should they set their bullpen for the rest of the series if there's going to be a Game 7? They can't win Game 6 tonight, Doug.
The best way you can set up a bullpen is have a starter be able to take you deep in that game. Mm-hmm. Aaron Nolan is that guy. You know, 200 innings a year, 200 strikeouts a year. He's that warrior type to give you that depth. And therefore, when he comes out, he gives the ball to the manager. That's the situation where the Phillies want to be set up well with their best of their best. Plus, they have the travel day or the day off, so they've been able to reset. All hands are on deck. And we have guys like Alvarado. You have guys like Dominguez. They have a lot of options. And, you know, Kimbrel's had his struggles, but they still can use him in matchups if the worst-case scenario is not.
Lock getting the start for Tanner Mordecai. Oh, my goodness! Just crushed by Newton! And a flag comes down!
They're going to get him for targeting, and he knew it right away.
Oh, my goodness! 7.5 minutes remaining here in our fourth quarter. Here's the blitz. It's picked up. Locke has a man. Caught! Touchdown! Will Pauling! Locke! Man wide open! Touchdown! Touchdown, Rucci! The other one! No timeouts for Illinois. 46-yard line. Quite possibly the final play of our game. Altmaier. Can't get it off. It's over. Wisconsin wins to spoil a homecoming here in Champaign.
The game is over.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5.
Well done on the song there.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, Rascal Flatts, bringing it home, baby.
That's
Let's
right.
Go.
Yeah. There is a lot to talk about.
Oh,
that's for sure. Rascal's correct on that. And Illinois is so close. I don't know if now I look back and I liked it better when Illinois just got blown out in games and I just went back to the tailgate lot and had my fun. And I just moved on, and now I go back and make enemies because I'm like the only one that cares in the lot because everybody else has been out there the entire day. And I'm like, just, you know what? I'm not going to say what I was saying, but it was bad. And I'm just, everybody's like, Lon, you just need to go home.
Lon's built different, man. He cannot stop being an Illinois football fan.
I can't. So is it like Brett Bielema has gotten us to this point where we're in every game? For the most part.
Which game made you more mad? Nebraska or this game?
Oh, this game.
Oh, Nebraska made me way more mad.
Well, I understand.
This one hurt more.
Yeah, right. Well, that's probably
on
better.
On the note of what hurts the most.
The pain.
That's probably.
What hurts most, right?
I was actually, you're probably right. I was probably more mad after Nebraska because of the ineptness that Illinois showed
in that Nebraska's
game.
Garbage. Yes. Yes.
And then yesterday or Saturday, I was mad at officials. I was mad at Nebraska fan or Wisconsin fans. I was mad at Illinois. I was mad at myself for doing this to myself. I don't know. I was just like, I was just ready to punch somebody. And I decided to not do that, which is probably a good idea because they'd punch back and I'd be in trouble. Mm. Yeah, I was just mad. I was mad about it all. I'm mad that there's so many things that occur that always seem to never go our way. And that's the truth. That's not even, I said the other day, I was going to try to throw emotions aside and be more analytical. Exactly. Right.
He's laughable.
I was going to be more contextual about, you know, Luke Altmaier ran the ball well, but it seemed like we were running instead of passing when we should. There's just certain things that I could break down But it just seems like, you know, last year against Michigan with the no call, the no call against, or the pass interference against Purdue, which is an interception going the other way. Those are two big calls that probably lead you to a Big Ten West title.
Listen, I think the Michigan game changed the whole landscape of college football because they end up making the playoff because of that.
That's a good point.
And obviously TCU makes the championship. But what was hard about you're going to have missed calls on penalties. We had that against Purdue. I think what was difficult was the replay against Michigan where his hand is on the ball and his knee is down.
Yeah.
I've never seen a game where we replay it. The hand is down.
I forgot all about that one. I was talking about the non-pick play call.
The pick plays, but how about when J.J. McCarthy picked up the ball with his knee.
Yep.
The only team that can maybe have more beef than us this week is Iowa.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
No, I'm
We're going to have to get to that at some point.
Oh, my gosh.
But so that proves right there, Derek, that it happens to other teams. It's just I pull for one. I watch every minute of one.
You're emotionally connected to this team, and so it hurts.
And even when it's Illinois, like I think that was targeting on Johnny Newton.
By the letter of the law, yes.
By the letter of the law. So even me, I sit there and think, why did you do that? Like, I understand, like, we can get into, this could be another segment. I understand that, you know, he's making a play, and I get all that, and we can talk about how targeting shouldn't sit you out the next game and this. But I also understand that if you're a football player nowadays, the rule is, and it's been around for a while, you do not lead with the crown of your helmet, and that's what Johnny did. And so I'm mad at him, even though the guy was wrecking the game. I mean, in a good way. There was nobody even close to as dominant as Johnny Newton.
Best player on the field.
Easy. And I'm going to shut up after this. And then, you know, then he does that. And I'm like, Johnny, why didn't you just, I don't know. Why'd you have to do that?
Oh, I will say this. First off, after he goes out, I think they scored two touchdowns and had a 160 in yards. Something like that. Something
like 280-yard drives.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And it wasn't like we weren't bringing six or seven guys on the pressure to get pressure. We couldn't get any pressure without him.
Nope.
Right? And especially with Randolph all out, it was a gaping hole. Johnny did that much for this team and does that much for this team. I'm going to take, listen, has there been a more dominant defensive lineman? I don't know. Maybe Whitney Merciless was as dominant.
Yeah.
Corey Legit had some years. Obviously, Simeon Rice.
Go back to Mo Gardner and Derek Brownlow.
But in the last decade, probably not, right? Probably not Johnny.
No.
Great guy off the field.
Yo.
They say he's an incredible leader, right? I mean, he works harder than a lot of these guys. Came back, could have been an NFL guy. Probably made himself some money this year. He's been the best player on the field in every game.
Totally agree. Mock drafts are having him in the top 10.
Okay, and it's really easy, I would say this, to slow a play down and say, man, what is he thinking?
Yep.
If you play that thing back in real time, there's not a better interior lineman in the country at getting vertical. He has more than just a bull rush. He'll get vertical on a guy, and he can turn the corner.
So amazing.
Once that lineman turns his shoulders to not be square, he's done. He'll put his foot in the ground, and you see those defensive linemen working on the hoop drills a lot. If you ever go to practice, right, he's able to turn that corner better than any other interior defensive lineman. The moment he looks up and sees the quarterback in front of him, it's probably a quarter second.
Okay.
It really is, and I'm not trying to defend. But Brett's argument was I told him to lead with the hand to make him vote. Now, Bill Carolla will say this. He's the head of Big Ten officiating. If we see you do this, and I'm making a pushing motion with my hands right now, okay? If we see you do that and you also strike with your head, that's not how you're taught to tackle, so we think we're going to call that as a target or a roughing. Well, I don't think he was trying to do that. I think he was trying to swipe at the ball.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If I swipe down, just do this.
You're going to look down.
You're going to look down. Your head's going to go forward.
Yep.
So what happens? Swipe down, head goes forward, right? And it's just what happens all the time. It's like, it's why do linebackers knock the hands down of linemen from top to bottom? It's to get their head down and pull them by.
Makes sense.
And so by their very coaching, it set up a possible targeting on Johnny. And heartbroken.
Oh, I mean,
you could see the moment he got up. The moment he got, that's how much it meant to him. Right? I mean, it was devastating. I hate the ejection. We can go, like I said, but you watch that in real time. It's very hard not to make that
that's
play.
That's fair.
You know, if I get it, that's fair. We're doing all right.
I'm mad at myself for being mad at Johnny.
We count the fairs and the rights for me, and it's a good drinking game, right? Okay.
You hear a lot in football where you're watching mostly, I mean, it's obviously college, but forcible contact to the head or neck area. And that's what it was. I mean, you talk about crown of the helmet or not. I do think with the way that his head gets bent down, like his face back seemed to hit him in the shoulder, but the top of his helmet hits him somewhere between the, like the ear hole of the helmet and then the neck. So I think that by definition is definitely a roughing the passer. Sure. You're going to have a flag that sack fumble is going to be taken away. Although I know I was listening to you and Jeremy. Was there also a holding on Illinois on that play?
There was a defensive holding on that play as well.
So even without that, the sack and fumble gets negated.
The sack fumble gets negated. So that would have been negated. There was a penalty. It was more just, so it wouldn't have been quite the turning point of what people think it would be. But I think, and
it's the ejection, right?
The ejection and
having him in the game
and your defensive leader out. And Brett said you can't implode. Well, they did implode. Like they imploded. There wasn't a guy on that team, on the offense too, that could make a play that when we needed a play, okay, in those last 10 minutes. We'll talk about Luke Altmyer. That was a super gutsy game.
I did too.
But we got to have a DB high point the football. Tyler Strain didn't high point the football, right?
That was weird.
He thought until the last second he was going to get a pick. He should have high pointed that football. Great break on the ball. Xavier Scott got beat. Good job by Tyler Strain, but didn't high point the football.
Right.
We couldn't get any pressure. We couldn't get anybody to stop the run. We Braden Locke saves his best ball of the game for 1 minute to go.
Of course.
It was a perfect ball. Taz Nicholson's in phase. And we can't get any kind of pressure on the quarterback without Johnny Newton. He's taking up two or three guys. And he's still getting pressure.
Can I, after everything you just said right there, like two big runs by Braylon Allen, the perfect throw from Locke, everything you just said right there, is that just simply a Wisconsin team and program that has been winning for 20 years and knows how to win football games?
I think a lot of it's that, number one. I think, too, we thought the rebuild was farther along last year than it is. I still think this team, especially with all the veterans gone from us, is still learning how to close out games and win games. We look at the last 3 years. There's been a lot of close games we have not won.
Right.
Maryland, UTSA, that first year. We won one of those, or even Purdue the first year. We go to a bowl game. Right? We talked about this. We could have had 9, 10, maybe 11 wins last year.
Right.
We haven't done great in the game situations. I talked about this earlier on a podcast today with Jeremy Warner, and why is that? One, I think it's a belief, a mindset. I think, too, you got to have great quarterback play. Now, Braden Locke's certainly not a great player, not a great quarterback yet. But you have great quarterback play to consistently win close, and you got to have a defense that can rise up and somebody make a play.
Mm.
They need one guy to make a play on offense or defense to close out that game, and they didn't do it. And that was tough.
There's a number of different ways we can dissect this. Of course, we want to hear your thoughts on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. But while we're on the subject, because Johnny Newton's ejection was that, in terms of just magnified the impact of him being out, your best player, game wrecker, and then Wisconsin scores 18 straight points there in the fourth quarter to take the lead and then win the game 25-21. I think there are people out there who say the targeting call itself was egregious. I disagree. I think we're on the same page of that. I am amazed and dumbfounded that we're still at the point of automatic ejection with targeting. It's the dumbest rule in all of sports. It doesn't make any sense because it doesn't judge intention, and it can be just incidental contact helmet to helmet, and all of a sudden a guy is taken out of the game. It doesn't happen anywhere else. You look in baseball, if a pitcher was ejected every time they hit a batter, then we would have madness in baseball. It doesn't happen. If you are noticeably throwing at some guy's head, then yeah, they'll throw you out.
Right.
And they might be able to look at it and whatnot. And in basketball, if you stick out a leg and you go knee to knee with a guy and, you know, maybe he blows his ACL, then like that, those plays aren't automatic ejections. There are certain review things in place to where like the most intentional and just bad intention plays can be reviewed and say, okay, this was obviously a dirty play. Let's get this guy out of the game.
Right.
But to have Johnny, who comes back for this year, having the season that he's having, have this be a homecoming game where you've surprisingly and shockingly beat Maryland. For whatever reason, Iowa's going to lose to Minnesota, and they do. And you have Wisconsin on the ropes, who thoroughly outplayed them for three quarters. That even if it was a targeting, I do think it was, why is that ejecting him from the game? It's the stupidest rule in all of sports. Find me a dumber one, and I'll be surprised.
Guys, I don't know if I see that much emotion out of Pipes. I don't know if it's the haircut or what, but man, he is on point today with he's fired up. He's borderline Little Lon. Here's what I don't like about targeting, too. it's a strictly, almost strictly, other than an offensive blindside block, it's a strictly defensive penalty.
It is. That's a good point.
And there's a lot of tailbacks that put their head down.
Mm.
I'll just say Braylon Allen puts his head down. Caden Fagan puts his head down. And when he hits the guy with the crown of his helmet, nobody calls anything, right?
I've never thought of that.
Another thing, too. We're not allowed to push defensive plays to block a kick, players to block a kick. That's been banned for about a decade. All of a sudden now we can push quarterbacks and linemen and everything.
Kelsey got pushed in yesterday as a tight end.
On the offensive side.
Yep.
So there are these double standards offensively to defensively. And I agree. I think it should be called consistently offense and defense. But also number two, I think the penalty is atrocious. I think these are college kids that have a guaranteed 48 games. Maybe you don't have guaranteed any games, I guess, because you get hurt. But 48 games, let's not have them miss a half or something. I think it's stupid.
That's a great point. And I even told Jay before the show, how about this? If whoever you target is able to play the next play, then you are too. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In other words, the quarterback came. He was fine.
So if you knock a guy out, you're out.
Then you're out.
You're out.
Mm-hmm.
The guy gets back up, you're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. It's better than the current rule. We got a question here from 217.
He says, like this.
Jay, how many times have you gotten kicked out because the targeting rules back when you played? I would say this. I would say there was a hit in Syracuse where I absolutely blew this guy up, and I did leave with my head. I mean, knocked him out stone cold. I didn't knock him out, but he was out. It was a good hit. I'd say that's one of them. There might be one other ones. I've made the joke that my two safeties, Kevin Mitchell and Justin Harrison, sure, would have been out half of the games every season.
There's no doubt.
Because all they did was headhunt.
Yeah.
And I would say Antoine Patton and Tyrone Washington in the 90s. Those guys would have played half the games. The game was different. I mean, they would, as a safety, you were taught to just decapitate
people. Exactly.
That was how you were taught to play. So I think the safety position especially and the DN position have been affected the most.
Let's talk about some of the disappointing plays on defense after that Johnny Newton targeting. Of course, we mentioned the Tyler Strain not playing the ball well enough to at least knock it down, if not intercept it altogether.
Yeah, it's not Tyler's fault. Xavier Scott got beat on the wheel route.
Right.
Tyler makes a great break. He just didn't. So it's everywhere. There was also no pass rush. I hate calling one guy out. It was a whole team effort not to make that happen. But go ahead.
Final drive, I think there was a third and long. They elect to hand it off to Braylon Allen. Sure. You can't wrap him up. He gets a first down. You, of course, had the throw on the sideline wasn't a bad play on the defense. It's just the best ball that Braylon Locke had thrown all day. But then I want to talk to you about the touchdown of throwing it to the left tackle. And I know some people out there are complaining that, you know, his back foot's on the 10-yard line while the receiver's front foot is on the 10-yard line. Does that make him covered up and ineligible? I mean, the receiver himself was 2 yards off the ball. If you look at the ball was on the 8, he was lined up at the 10.
Sure.
How hard is that for a defense to recognize, okay, a player that normally isn't eligible now is eligible, and do you think they made a mistake by not saying he was covered up, or was that a legal play in your mind?
Okay, so if you go back and look at this, first off, all the ineligible numbers are 50 to 79. If you have a number outside of 50 to 79, you can catch the ball. I don't care if you're 99, I don't care if you're 1, okay? So 93 is an eligible number. It's not used a ton.
Right.
Okay, but it is an eligible number. If you look at the play, they are lined up into the boundary. First off, anytime they put a strength into the boundary, that means the short side of the field, you know something's up. Why in the world? Like that was always an alarm bell for me. Why do they got two tight ends and a receiver in a space that's 10 yards wide?
That's interesting.
It doesn't make sense. I would say alert, boundary, check, and I would check it all. I would say, what is going on? I need to see it. Now, stuff's happening fast. What do? They shift out of it.
Yeah.
So the tight end, he's not lined up as a tight end right away. He's lined up as a tackle.
Right.
The tight end then moves. The receiver is actually already off the line and never actually said to the ref, am I on the line? Mm-hmm. Okay, couple different things. I'm also a defender trying to be like, I got to get a stop. This is where I got to get a stop.
Well, yeah.
I'm focused on, they're going to run the ball with Braylon Allen. They got time to knock out the, you know, all this stuff. So then you have Rucci. Is it? No. Tucci? Rucci. I can't remember.
I think it was Rucci.
No, Nolan Rucci.
There's two Rucci.
Nolan Rucci.
Yeah.
Hayden Rucci, Nolan Rucci. Nolan is now in the tackle position, but he's eligible because that receiver's off. It was a proper alignment. They don't have to report him because he's not, doesn't have an eligible number. If he had number 66, they would say, number 66 is eligible, exactly. Blah, blah, blah. Didn't have to report him. Great play call. They saved it for the right time. You know, he even threw it high. The guy brought it down. I can't fault the linebackers for not catching it. That's a lot to unpack. Or unpacking it because we're watching film.
Yeah. What does it mean to cover up? Like to, so like Good Derek question. Said, the wide receiver is covering up the tackle.
Yeah. So if you're covering up the tackle, it means you're on. So only the end guy on the line of scrimmage is eligible to receive a pass. Okay. If you're not the end guy on the line of scrimmage, you have to be off the ball. Okay. Gotcha. And there has to be seven people on the line of scrimmage, five linemen and a tight end on one side, a user receiver on the other side. Your slot receiver is going to be off. Your tailback's going to be off. Your fullback or another slot receiver's going to be off the ball. There can only truly be four men in the backfield because you have a tight end.
Because you have to have seven on the line.
Seven on the line. If so if you're covered up, that means that your tight end and receiver, Iowa game 2007, our receiver covered up the tight end.
Okay.
The tight end went out for a pass. He's now an ineligible receiver downfield because he wasn't the end man on the line of scrimmage.
Gotcha.
And the end man on the line of scrimmage, only people allowed to go downfield unless you're off the line of scrimmage. Does that make sense?
So, yes. So
that was a lot.
If a receiver's not on the, let's say on the left-hand side, there's no receiver and the tackle is the last person.
He's eligible.
Then he's eligible to catch a pass.
He's eligible. You don't see it a ton, but no, he's eligible.
We're nitpicking here, but
interesting.
When you see the freeze frame of that play, and you mentioned too many guys, you know, not enough guys on the line of scrimmage, you have that called as well. The fact that the left tackle's backflips on the 10, the line of scrimmage is the 8. Could you have made an argument that he was off the ball and there was too many, there wasn't enough guys on the line of scrimmage, and that this doesn't matter where the back foot ends up?
So, good question. I mean, you got to remember how long and big these guys are. And they're going to give you a benefit of the doubt. If your helmet is breaking the plane of 1 yard from the football, mm-hmm. they're going to assume that you are lined up on the line of scrimmage. Okay.
Gotcha.
And a lot of times, though, and you see this with NFL tackles, I mean, they will get as far back as they can on a pass set, right? You'll
right.
see almost like a fan shape of
yeah,
the line,
exactly.
right? You'll see a fan shape. These tackles are, and sometimes like the ref will tell you, well, you'll hear him say, hey, you got to get up close to the line. Like you're off the line. And so they'll try to check that. They'll check that. You might not hear it. You might not see a flag, but a ref will come and say, you do that again. We're going to start calling if you're not up there. There's a lot of stuff that the ref will say during a game and say, hey, I saw you get handsy on this play. Don't do that again, which is interesting, but sometimes they won't call it or they'll say, hey, you know, hold your little handsy on the break out of the jersey. You know, it could be a defensive hold. So something to think about.
Jay, one more before we catch our first break. I want to ask you, this is kind of a two-parter. You've been as the Mike, the guy that's like the quarterback yeah. of the defense. How hard is that to identify? I'm assuming that's not a pre-scouted look. That's credit to Wisconsin for giving
sure.
them something they didn't expect.
That's good
right.
call.
And the fact that Illinois, even if they were in panic mode and kind of maybe – saw it late. They didn't have a timeout to burn because Brett had to use a couple before that. What did you make of kind of the fact of Bielema having to burn some timeouts? We had the clapping thing that he explained he wanted to call a timeout on. You had the substitution late.
Sure.
Not having a timeout on that, and how tough is it as the linebacker to identify that?
So it's a good question on the timeouts. We did have a question about what was the whole clapping thing about. I saw that on the text line. So the clap is used as a cadence now
yeah.
rather than like a hit pierces through the noise. And they were saying that Wisconsin was clapping to shift.
And the dude did clap.
He clapped. And so, you know, it sounds like they would just tell Brett, sorry, we'll get it next time. And Brett's like, I'm sorry about that. So that made us burn a timeout. The other thing that made him burn time, if you listen to him, is that they did not allow Illinois to substitute. Okay. Now,
yep.
now here's the rule. This all happened. Do you remember the era of like the hurry up? Like, let's go as fast as we can, get 90 plays in a game. And this is probably early teens of the 2000s, probably. I mean, it's like people were just, I did a Marshall game one time and it was like 97 plays. It was just nauseating, right? And all little dinks and dunks. And they said, okay, we can't do this anymore. And we'd have people run sweeps into the boundary, into their sideline, and then surprisingly, not surprisingly, three guys would substitute in for three guys that ran into the sidelines. Uh-huh. You have three receivers running to the sideline blocking, and then three tight ends come in, and you line up, and it's like, oh, well, wait a minute, totally different personnel, right? So these offenses are always looking for ways to cheat, number one.
Yeah.
Number two is you're supposed to allow them to substitute. They said that they did. They forgot to do that. This is me saying what Brett said in there, that they forgot to let him sub, so he had to burn another timeout. So that's that. It's unfortunate we use our timeouts. Mm. And we used a timeout early. One of us won like in the middle of the third quarter.
I think it was offense, wasn't it?
Maybe that was the clapping. It was something. I don't know which one that was. But it's a very hard play to recognize, okay, in the moment that guy's actually eligible. Here's the deal, though. You should notice that he's not in the game usually, right? So you should say, okay, this is not a normal offensive lineman. And what's even harder to see when I'm inside the box is if he's off the line of scrimmage, that means that my tight end on the other side has to be covered up because there's a receiver on the other side, right? So he had that line, that tight end cannot go downfield.
Yeah, meaning the tight end has to stay in a block.
And I don't have to cover that guy.
Mm.
But where's the other guy? Where is it?
Yeah.
I've got to figure it out now, right? Because it's covered up. So I have to always look sideline to sideline. What's the split of the receiver? Are they on the off? There's a lot of things going on. I don't blame the linebackers or the safeties or anybody for not seeing it. It was a great play call. You're always going to see something new and different. Hats off. I can't get on somebody for not seeing it in real time. It's hard to pick up when I watch the replay.
Yeah. And the last one, and then I want the sponsors, then we got to take a break. I don't know how many coaches are affiliated with a college football team before every Saturday and even on game day.
Sure.
Do you think, and I don't blame any of them for that,
but
do you think going forward now guys are going to be like, okay, I want to know, what'd you say the numbers were that are ineligible?
50 through 79.
So you get a roster, right? I mean, Illinois before the game knows who's rostered up for Wisconsin. Do you think going forward now they're going to be like, okay, if these five guys, I want one guy looking, if one of those five guys comes in.
Well, and a lot of times it's not, Wisconsin,
I think it's kudos to Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's done this for years. They've brought in extra defensive linemen and extra linemen with different jersey numbers that are eligible a lot in their history of like, okay, just to their jumbo package. And so in that regard, they should have been alerted if they've ever seen it that, hey, these guys could come in and these guys could be eligible.
Ought to be some Illinois defensive coach that notices that.
Listen, there's people in the box that are looking at all kinds of personnel.
Yeah.
And you do one guy's job to say it's 11 personnel, it's 12 personnel. Hey, usually a call like that would be like, this is like 13 jumbo, which means, hey, one of these tight ends is actually a lineman. Mm. Okay. So they're not actually pass catchers by trade, but they're a lineman, but you got to be aware of that. I don't know if that was shown or not, right? I don't. All I know is that we got phenomenal sponsors. Iroquois Federal, okay? Iroquois Federal is your one-stop shop for all your lending needs. Bob Guido. Bob did a loan for a client with me this week. Love Bob Guido. Ryan Lowry's doing a couple loans for me. Mark McHale, he's like the godfather over there. And then Brenda Crane, she does a phenomenal job with owner-occupied loans. And when you get a loan, guys, you're going to need insurance. That's what Kyle at IPGINS.com, Kyle at IPG Insurance. He is my go-to insurance agent, auto, home, life, habitational, and also Long Branch Steakhouse, beautiful downtown Collected Gifford. You know where to find it on Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m. Guys, the steaks are great, but the fried pickles are what you got to try out, the fried pickles. And by the way, never give the location for Iroquois. It's located in Savoy, just south, north of Savoy 16, and at the crossing, Windsor and Duncan in Champaign. Check out Iroquois Federal, our title sponsor, the second year in a row.
A ribeye sounds so good.
Sure. Drown your sorrows in ribeyes.
I have not had a ribeye steak in a long time.
We're due for a break. We're going to get to a lot of texts to get through, a lot to dissect here. We'll get to your texts, more of them for Jay on the other side of this break, 217-359-2255 if you want to weigh in on the U of I Line and Link text line. And then we'll also ask Jay some bigger picture questions the rest of this season, what that looks like. And then also at some point we'll talk about Iowa and some other results around the Big Ten. A lot to do. Stick with us. This is The Drive.
Everybody needs insurance, and that's why I love Kyle Lewis at Insurance Providers Group. This is Jay Layman, All-American linebacker. Kyle provides auto, life, health, and all kinds of commercial lines of insurance. They are my one-stop shop for all my insurance needs, and all my rental properties are insured by IPG. That's why you need to email Kyle at IPGINS.com. Kyle at IPGINS.com. INS.com.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Amazing selection, price and style. On hardwoods, laminates, carpet and tile. Low prices on high fashion. Step up the flooring, that gets a wow reaction. See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
Flooring Surfaces now offers beautiful window fashions. Our interior design team will custom fit shade, shutters, and blinds to any size opening. Visit the showroom to see the latest fashions from Graber and Hunter Douglas, or request an in-home consultation. Whether it's floors or windows, Flooring Surfaces has you covered. See us today at 401 Mercury Drive in Champaign.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
Jay Layman here, former U of I All-American linebacker. Do you like steak? Do you like red meat? Well, if you do, you got to check out Long Branch Steakhouse. They had phenomenal steaks, sides, salads. I love the onion rings and the fried mushrooms as well as the fried pickles. You've got to check out Long Branch Steakhouse in beautiful downtown Gifford. That's right. Make the trip to Gifford for some of the best steaks you'll have. Kids love it too. I brought my whole family. I'll see you at Long Branch Steakhouse in downtown Gifford.
Prairie Gardens' famous Christmas clearance sale is going on now. Save on all the cool Christmas decor you really wanted. Ornaments and Christmas accents are up to 60% off. Up to 60% off Christmas trees, wreaths, and garlands. Save 50 to 60% on Christmas cards, candles, ribbon, and Christmas florals. Hurry in for the best selection and the greatest savings. Prairie Gardens' famous Christmas clearance sale, going on now. Springfield and Duncan, Champaign.
Get the roof your home deserves by Roof Doctors, your residential roofing specialist that has always offered the best warranties in the industry, like our non-prorated 50-year warranty. Our customers love that we are family-owned and locally operated. We make our customer needs our top priority. With over 30 years' experience and the best customer service, give Roof Doctors a call today for your free estimate at 328-7529. In your community and for your community, Roof Doctors.
Crystal Lake Park Family Aquatic Center is now open. Open swim weekdays from 12:30 to 7, and weekend hours are 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Lap swim weekdays. Admission $8 for residents, $12 for non-residents. Buy punch cards for a discount on your admission. Stay cool at the pool this summer. Rent the pool for parties. Call the pool for more information at 217-239-7946 or visit online urbanaparks.org.
Yes, I'm ready to go.
Staring out into the wild blue yonder. Oh. So many thoughts to sit and ponder about love, love, and the lack of, and its emptiness in my heart.
Great story, Tom.
Yeah.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. I'm just trying to cheer Lon up.
Can you play Keg in the Closet? When he talks about 1989, where they had no other care in the world, it's they got a keg in the closet, baby.
What was the one? Be the fan of 50-yard line.
And, oh yeah, the old
Molly McGee in the hood of my truck. No,
yeah. It's that's like there. That. That's there.
Like that, you know, something on there.
Oh yeah,
Kenny's got some great stuff.
He's amazing. You got to go up about 45 seconds in this thing.
Back in 89.
There it is. Keg in the closet. Pizza
on the floor. Salukis.
Left off. And here it is.
Where we were going, we didn't really care. We had all we ever wanted.
That's it. That keg in the closet. That describes college. We got everything we want. What? We can order a pizza on occasion. Mom's not here yelling at us about something.
89 was a pretty good Illinois sports year, too.
Yes, so, I mean,
that's probably why you were feeling that way, okay?
It's pretty sad that I go 45 seconds and it hit it perfect. Wow. I was a sophomore at SIU, baby.
It is pretty sad. I mean, what is going on in your life, man? My gosh.
Hey, the Dogs lost by 7 on homecoming at home to the number one team in the country, South Dakota State.
Oh, wow.
Nick Hill's got it going down there. They're 5-2. They're ranked 12th right now in the FCS.
FCS. But being 5-2 in the MVC is
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. The Missouri Valley's good football.
Why in the heck? Then we'll get right back to it. Why is the Dakotas, why are they so good in that?
I think any state university that is in the FCS is good.
Okay.
Montana.
Yeah.
You know, they're good. Like, if it's your flagship thing, they're gonna be good.
They're really good.
I mean, Boise State used to dominate that league until they bumped up, right? It's like, sometimes I think Wyoming should still be in that league, but they would probably kill it. But they've had some good teams, too. I mean, Josh Allen, right? So
I just told you at the break that I'm still kind of bullish about Illinois, going forward in terms of, and a lot of it has to do with Luke Altmyer. Okay. I don't mean this year necessarily.
Sure.
I think we've kind of wasted it this year and when you had chances and, but Luke Altmyer showed me some things. Now, were there times where I felt like we were running maybe quicker than, I don't know what Wisconsin was doing to where Luke was immediately pulling it down and going, but certainly the kid led us in rushing. He's quick. He's fast.
Sure.
Had some gutsy plays. He got out of, I thought he was tackled 3 times and somehow he's up the field.
He was 7 or 8.
He was. I thought he had one hell of a game.
I give him a lot of credit. First off, people kind of wrote him off after the Penn State and the 4 picks. He's really taking care of the football. I would say, you know, the Maryland one was a borderline pass interference.
Yeah.
So really the last 2 games, he's really taking care of the football. He's tough. Okay. He's tough. Remember, he was never a starter. So, I mean, you're kind of getting a first year starter and DeVito had started some, Brandon Peters has started some, you know, he had probably had those first 5 games pretty rough, but game 6, game 7, they've kind of gotten better. 7 and 8 have gotten better. So I think he's going to be a good quarterback as long as we can keep him. Number one, got to keep him protected. He was a magician out there on 4th and 2. He made that play. He made a couple scrambles down to get us down to the red zone. He's just, and you kind of know, like, I was kind of thinking, I was like, man, we haven't seen quarterback run yet. And then there it was, bam. And he cranks it out for, and he runs away from some people.
He does. He's fast.
Which is interesting. So now I will say the way that Wisconsin was running defense, they were not going to give up the deep ball. I don't know why you'd be scared for the deep ball against Illinois. But there was a lot of stuff underneath, and he did a good job of taking what was there for him.
Yep.
So I give Luke a lot of credit.
If I would have told you going into the game that Illinois outgains the Badgers on the ground 223 to 139, and including in that, Altmyer runs for 100, and then Caden Fagan, 24 carries, 97 yards and a touchdown, you probably think Illinois wins.
Oh, yeah.
Comfortably.
And, you know, I wonder what those stats look in the fourth before the fourth quarter.
Right. Oh, right.
Oh. I mean, it was dominant. And that it's like when you watch Illinois, you're like, that you either know they're going to run the ball this game or not. Like from the first quarter on, and you could just tell. They could run the football.
Yeah.
Caden Fagan looked great. Our offensive line, who I have been very, very critical of, the last 2 games has gotten better. This game was probably their best overall game. They gave up some pressures late, but I would say, man, the interior's gotten way more solid. I think Zai, who we've knocked on a lot, I've knocked on, and things should be better. Zai's been better. I think Hunter Whiteneck's gonna be a good player here. He's young. It's a bummer that we're gonna miss out on Pearl and Adams and, you know, Newton and Randolph, they're all leaving. We got to hit the transfer portal for that need
big
now.
Big
and
time.
I think that's what they're doing this week.
Jay, it's unfortunate it's not a 4-4 football team that we're then dissecting.
Yes.
Okay, they technically could still win out the rest of their games, if not win 3 or 4 and be a 7-1
football
team.
They could have won the division with Iowa losing and them beating Wisconsin. The only people with the head-to-head would have been the bad teams, Nebraska and Purdue.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
They would have had the head-to-head on Wisconsin.
And you were going to play Iowa.
And you're going to play them.
Mm.
Man.
Illinois might be that team that beats someone to.
Yeah, I can see them being that team.
Yeah, no, that's true. Bill asked about not trying to get more, I guess, with the wind in the third quarter.
Bill said that we should take in the wind or what?
I thought Illinois lacked urgency and lost the game.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
When they had the win, had to get more than 7 when they had that advantage.
I wasn't at the game. It sounded like the win was a big factor.
It was windy.
Right?
I mean, it was windy.
There's 2 games every October and November that, you know.
Every time.
At Illinois, the win's going to be a factor.
Yep.
So I will also say, how many touchdowns were scored on that end zone? I'm just trying to think.
It seemed like everything was down near me, right? Not near the students, except
for the Tip Ryman touchdown.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So most of it was. But here's the deal. Would you rather have him give up the ball in the second half? Because they could have given up the ball and said, hey, take the ball, and we're going to take the win in the fourth quarter. I don't think that's what Brett would. I think he wanted to get up on him some more.
I think what Bill is saying, like, we should have been more aggressive.
Should have been
passing more.
I mean, here's the deal. We can always be more aggressive. I would say I can agree with that.
But up to that point, your running game was working, as Derek just pointed out.
I mean, it was a flawlessly coached game for three quarters. Right. So it's like, I mean, we're kind of shooting arrows out of here. But I would say this: I think this team, when it came down to it, couldn't get a guy to make a play to get off the field defensively.
Yeah.
Or that Boyer penalty where he got called for that holding, which is going to be a first down. That would have shoot up a ton of clock.
Was that the only hold called the entire game?
I think so.
I think it was.
It's tough for me. I'm watching four games at a time sometimes, and then Northwestern and Nebraska was like a 2-hour, 40-minute game. It got over so quick. So we had to go on air because that was our Big Ten game. And I'm watching the Iowa game, and I'm watching the Illinois game. Yeah. James White is a Wisconsin guy. So I was like, oh, my gosh. And we're sitting back and forth. We're trying to, like, do the show and watch the games. You get this, right? You know how it goes.
Jay, you mentioned transfer portal. There's no doubt the defensive line, something you got to address. You would imagine the secondary, I've been critical and will continue to be. I think that they missed a big opportunity to capitalize on a situation where you had guys go to the NFL and you didn't really replenish it with needle-moving guys in the secondary this past offseason. But how much do you need pass catchers for next year? For the future of Luke Altmyer, there is going to be a decision for Isaiah Williams to make.
Maybe
two-parter. Do you think Isaiah, where would you guess right now based on what he will do this offseason, and how much does that receiver room need to be upgraded if Luke Altmyer is going to continue to take steps forward?
Well, man, Isaiah seems like he's been here forever.
It does.
I can't believe he has another year. I know he had the COVID year, so this would be his sixth year next year because he's a fifth-year guy now? Or is he a fourth-year guy?
I think he's a fourth year. Seems like he's been here forever, though. You're right.
It does.
Him quarterbacking that game at Rutgers feels like it was 5 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. But I think that was
a long
it's amazing.
Struggle.
But I think that was his redshirt year because he only played four games.
Yeah, it's amazing to think he still has another year.
Maybe two more years if it's his fourth year.
And he's not going to the NFL, is he?
I don't think so.
I mean, is he as good as Rondale Moore was?
No, I don't think so either.
He
didn't have the power or the explosive deep speed is Rondale.
I agree. I know Rondale got drafted, right? And he's in the NFL.
Rondale got popped by Spoon, too.
Sure. Boy, he did. So, and I know, like, this slot receiver kind of is the thing, right, in the NFL. Sure. Like, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill. You know, you got guys that are just quick. But I just don't see Isaiah.
2019, he played four games and redshirted. 2020, he was a redshirt freshman. 2021, he would have been a redshirt sophomore with a COVID year. 2022, redshirt junior with a COVID year. This year, redshirt senior with a COVID
year. So he'd
year.
Have one more year.
He's one more year.
One more year. It.
Okay. So
that would be huge.
We need offensive weapons at the receiver position. Let's hope he comes back. I don't know. I think he's had a really good production this year, if you look at it. I can't believe he got four touches. I think he got four touches this game.
I think
4 for 16 yards, not enough. Right?
Yes, 4 for 16.
We need more out of him. So I would say this. I would love to see him come back. I think it's 50-50 whether he goes. Pat Bryant, sometimes he plays great.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he drops the pass, right? Ashton Hollis, to me, had some pretty decent games prior, but I didn't see him at all. I didn't see Hank Beatty, I haven't seen.
Mm-mm.
Sean Miller, maybe? Malik Elsie?
I'll give it to you. Isaiah's 46 catches, Pat Bryant 24, Casey Washington 25. Then you got Ryman and Moore 14 and 9, so you put those together. That's kind of your tight end room has basically 23 catches. Then you've got Hank Beatty with 8, Ashton Hollins with 5, Malik Elsie with 5, Kanari Wilcher with 4. I mean, they're riding those big three.
Yeah, for sure.
They're riding the big three. Now, is Pat Bryant... Is he able to come? I know Casey's gone.
No, Pat Bryant's got another year.
Yeah, I would say, so I guess, Derek, I'll ask you that. If you have Isaiah and Bryant back, knowing that you also have Kanari, I want to see Kanari more. He's got speed on those returns.
He's got some real speed. And they were high on him in the spring. They talked highly of him. He seems to be the guy they're putting in before Hank Beatty. Now, the problem is that they got three guys that are just like Isaiah Williams.
Right.
Hank Beatty, Kanari Wilcher, and Isaiah Williams. So it's like, who do you play?
Yeah.
You need some size. Elsie has the size you want. Sean Miller's a little bigger as well. Ashton Hollis has some size. But you got to be able to trust him when you put him out there. So receiver's a need.
Yeah, Miller doesn't have a catch. I don't know. Has he been hurt? You know, the other thing that I've never even really thought of this season is you're out of the backfield. You're backed. Reggie Love has six carries. Or I'm sorry. Love has six catches. Fagan five. McCray six. Loughery two. That's all you have out
not
of
a
like.
Ton.
And it seems like that is such a weapon anymore in football.
Right.
But
yeah, the screen game hasn't been great with the running backs or the flat pass or anything. So we just, but I will say the last two games, we've got to see Barry Lenny actually call a game from ahead, and it hasn't been horrible. It hasn't been bad.
You know,
they didn't lose that game, I don't think, because of lack of aggression. I know people will say we should be more aggressive. We lost that game because they imploded after Johnny Newton went out.
Yes.
Whether that was whether it was the penalty that caused it or just Johnny Newton going out, whatever, they were a different football team.
And not having Randolph in there to boot.
And here's what I would say. Randolph was huge, too, not having Randolph, because I think one of them could make up for the other.
I agree.
But we're not going to have either of them next year, so that's a big need, right? I think Gabe Backus, we had a text about, Gabe Backus moving into the D-line. I think that's a good move for him. I think he's very powerful in strong situations. He's not the quickest D-end, but he could be a quick interior lineman for sure.
Would you go with that? That's not a bad idea.
I like that idea. We got more depth at outside backer with Alec Bryant, Zeke Holmes, and of course Seth Coleman. We've heard Jared Beatty, I think, is a guy that could press for playing time.
Yep.
So I like that move. I actually like the, like you said, Lon, you're kind of bullish on this team. I think give another year for Altmyer in the system under Lunny. You have Caden Fagan. You got to think we're going to get the offensive line right and healthy and more depth as they finally recruited and have their own guys. So I am kind of bullish. Now, the schedule gets a little bit trickier.
It does.
But, shoot, I always say, look at our schedule. We played everybody in the Big Ten, basically, but two teams.
Right.
I mean, I think we had Purdue and Michigan State off my senior year. Those are two easier teams. We played Penn State. We played Michigan. We played Ohio State. We played Wisconsin. We played them all. So it's like, is it really that much more tough? The 83 team played everybody in the Big Ten, beat them. So it is what it is.
Let's catch one more break. Jay, hit us with the sponsors one more time. We'll come back and wrap this thing up.
Yeah, buddy. Iroquois Federal, that's our title sponsor. Bob Guido, Ryan Lowry, Mark McHale, and Brenda Crane. They are your lending machine. They can do business line of credits, business loans, home loans. They're your one-stop lending shop, and they're in Champaign and Savoy. Also, make sure you talk to Kyle Lewis at IPG Insurance. Kyle at IPGINS.com. And of course, Long Branch Steakhouse. My man Lon, he really wants a ribeye tonight. Oh. Give himself some fried pickles and some rope. Do not forget the fried pickles when you go. Check out Long Branch Steakhouse in beautiful downtown Eclectic Gifford.
I want to look ahead at these final four games, what Jay thinks is reasonable for this team, and also ask him about some of the other results across the Big Ten this past weekend. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Line and Link text line. This is The Drive.
Carpet Weavers is flooring their customers. They work with the biggest brands to bring you the best selections and prices on hardwood, luxury tile, carpet, and more. Stop in at 616 West Market View Drive in Champaign and let one of their sales associates help you find the perfect flooring for your lifestyle. Their 100% satisfaction guarantee allows you to be confident in your purchase. Carpet Weavers has been flooring people with beautiful carpet and flooring since 1988. In fact, they're nationally ranked as one of the top 25 specialty flooring stores in the country. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
Thinking of selling your home? Today's market is crazy, but one way you can be sure to stand out is by replacing your old flooring with new hardwood. And the best place to do it is Carpet Weavers in Champaign. Carpet Weavers boasts the industry's best brands, including Shaw, Mohawk, Paramount, and more. When it comes to natural beauty and a rich quality, nothing beats new flooring from Carpet Weavers. And they have financing options for your budget, so you can always afford the floor you truly want. Increase the value of your home by installing new, high-quality options from Carpet Weavers. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
Illini fans, gear up for football season this year with the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. Get ready to support your Fighting Illini by shopping their great selection of Illini football merchandise, including t-shirts, sweatshirts, even brand new Nike replica jerseys. Shop with them at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campustown, or online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Hey, I got to tell you about Busey before we get back with Jay. All you need is love and financial intimacy. Before you walk down the aisle, Busey suggests setting a solid financial footing. Will you and your spouse keep financials separate or combined? Consider individual spending and saving habits. Couples that tackle money together and take responsibility for their solving them will find that their relationship is better for it. Share credit. Let your spouse-to-be know your credit situation and vice versa. There's also a thing called Cupid's Arrow. Develop a plan to shoot down existing debt and start with balances that carry the highest interest rates. Sweet savings. Decide how much you want to save and set goals to reach those both monthly and big picture in terms of your annual savings. Busey can help you with all of these things. You can visit Busey.com or stop by one of their convenient locations today. Busey, member FDIC. How about a little bit more of the keg in the closet for Lon? Because
Marianne, tell me a little more about what you can't have. Sweatshirts
and
black football. Spring breaks down in Panama. For a while.
Oh, yeah.
This is a lot of theme song right here.
Oh, yeah. I guess I got to turn your mic back on.
No, that's all right. Yeah, I've been over here talking about Marianne
and
all that stuff. So.
All right.
The kid from Camargo.
Back in the drive with Dane Piper. Final segment of the Jay Layman Hour.
I asked Jay, is it just a product? We can just keep Kenny on in the background if you want. I mean, it kind of gives me like a little
juice.
Yeah. Is it just a product of Illinois just being that close and anything that can go? I'm not saying this is a woe is me. In other words, we can't have something go wrong and overcome it. Not that often.
It's like when you move into a house and you use all your money to buy it and you have no money to fix the furnace when the heat goes out.
It's a good analogy.
Right?
It's a good analogy.
It's like we play with the big boys, but man, if something goes wrong, bad call, an injury, a guy's out, or all those combined,
yeah.
Implosion happens.
It's
We're
true.
Just not there as a program yet. I think they're building it. I like the pieces we have in place. I feel 100 times better than we did after Nebraska.
Guys, yeah.
I was bad after Nebraska.
Oh,
that was bad. Okay, but what I like to see is what we've done the last 2 weeks, which is we're in a lot of close football games. It can go either way. It went our way against Maryland. Didn't go away against Wisconsin.
This is Brett Bielema's program for a while. So.
Oh, he ain't going nowhere.
Whether you like it or not, they're going to give him the time like Wisconsin did Barry Alvarez.
Sure.
I assume like Iowa did with Hayden Fry, et cetera. Pipes, go ahead. I interrupted.
Jay, you mentioned it. I think you said it completely accurately. After Nebraska, play that football again, and you might not win a game the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Let me do this rapid fire. 1 out of 10, I'll give you the last 4 games for Illinois. Give me a 1 out of 10 confidence they win that game. Let's start with
Minnesota's next, right?
At Minnesota, 1 out of 10 that Illinois wins that game.
I'll give us a 6.
Okay.
After a bye.
Yeah, here's the deal. Minnesota's not that good. They're not that. You watch them play ball. They're not good. Okay? They're not that good. Okay?
PJ was almost crying after that game.
Oh, gosh.
Indiana here in Champaign.
I give us a 10 is the most, right?
Yeah.
I give us a 9.
All right.
Northwestern, I give us a 7 just because they're pesky.
Mm-hmm.
And
at
I think,
Iowa.
At Iowa, a 3.
Okay.
That's fair.
Kinnick in November is just a house of horrors.
I mean, can still get to a ball game, people.
You thought Spirit Halloween was bad or whatever, you know? Yeah, no, that's the house of horrors is there. So.
What are some of those bad bowl games, Derek?
Well, there's always the Quick Lane Bowl.
That's it.
And that used to be the Little Caesars, right?
Little
in Detroit.
Caesars. It's changed a couple times.
Yeah.
The Heart of Dallas is pretty bad. Zaxby's Heart of Dallas. We've been to that one before.
Mm-hmm. I just want the kids
Dallas.
To be able to go have some
Pinstripe
fun.
Is one that's kind of the low. Yeah, well, on the lower end. Pinstripe. So Pinstripe, Heart of Dallas, or what was the one? Quick Lane.
Yeah.
Which used to be the Motor City. Motor City to Quick Lane to Little Caesars to... You know,
let's win 4 in a row and go to the Music
City. Here's
the
funny
Bowl.
Thing. On Sundays, with Ron Turner, we used Lon. On Sundays, we used to have practice, and the starters would watch the game. But with Ron Turner, you had to do what the people would call the Buster Bowl, which is if you're a redshirt freshman and you're redshirting, all those guys play and just wail on each other. Now, if you had a couple cold ones the night before, it all comes out then. But I would say this. We didn't call that one the Dasani.com Bowl because we always had Dasani water. So he's like, oh, Dasani.com Bowl night. It's just a bunch of – and you're just so beat up from the game. You just watch a bunch of redshirt freshmen. This guy, let's go play. So that's the bowl game I don't want us to go to.
No.
Is the Dasani.com Buster Bowl.
Jay, last note. We've dissected the Johnny Newton call. I believe you were up there in the studio, Big Ten Network, the Iowa, the fair catch or not.
Oh, gosh.
What would you make of that one?
First off, it was not called on the field, okay?
Right.
Now, we found out that it is a reviewable thing, but when they told Kurt Ferentz why they were reviewing it, he said they were reviewing it to see if he was in bounds.
Yeah, because almost looked like he was out of bounds, but he wasn't.
He said, fine.
Yeah.
Then they said, well, he's out of bounds. Okay, good. No, we're actually reviewing if it was an invalid fair catch. Now, I think a fair catch is over your head, right? There are all kinds of signals, and they do go over this because from a defensive perspective, you're running down the field, and you see any kind of motion, you have to let off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there is, Green said,